Donald Trump came into office pledging no more endless wars, but he has twice tried to pull U.S. troops out of Syria, and twice he sent them back in. And of course, the conflict in Afghanistan is dragging on. So as we prepare to enter a new decade, we're going to take a moment to review both conflicts. And who better to help us than Michelle Flournoy? Flournoy was Undersecretary of Defense for Policy under Barack Obama. She now runs a strategic consulting firm called West Exec Advisors in Washington. We began by talking about the fight against ISIS in Syria.
Clearly, the success we've had in denying them territory in Syria, the raid that killed Baghdadi, these are big victories. But ISIS has not gone away. It has sent fighters to find safe haven in other places, whether it's Afghanistan or Libya and so forth. And they are very strong online. They're still able to recruit lone wolves. They're trying in Europe and they're trying in the United States and elsewhere to launch attacks. So, you know, yes, we've denied them territory, and that's very, very important. But no, they are not defeated, and we need to keep vigilant.
Didn't Donald Trump inherit a pretty incoherent policy on Syria to begin with? I mean, Obama had numerous missteps going back to the red line and chemical weapons, not being tough enough on Assad. Didn't they kind of have to start at zero, Trump and his team?
They did not. President Obama had actually succeeded in building a very robust counter-ISIS coalition with dozens of countries involved, including many of our NATO allies and our Gulf partners. And the counter-ISIS campaign, working with the Kurds and others, was actually quite successful and then continued to be successful under the Trump administration because they didn't change much. We can have a debate about whether the larger Syria policy was successful, and I would argue it wasn't. You basically have a situation where Russia intervened, regained a foothold in the Middle East, and Assad is going to stay in power despite having murdered thousands and thousands of his own citizens and displaced millions.
So we've just seen this trove of documents, the Afghanistan papers, basically detailing how for the last 18 years, the American public was at times told a different story, a rosier story about the war in Afghanistan, at times was just blatantly lied to. Are we going to see the same kind of documents or revelations about Syria, say, in 10 years?
There was a lot of internal debate about what was working and what was not working in Afghanistan. But I can think of no person who was willfully manipulating the information or lying to the president or the American people. I think people
we were being told
that
American
we were
people
being
were
more
being
successful.
Told that progress was being made in Afghanistan, and clearly was not.
Well, but I think there were people who believed that progress was being made, and they may have been wrong. They may have been measuring the wrong things, and they may have been faulty in their analysis. But I don't think, you know, a lot of that came from military reporting in the field about success from the surge. I don't think those people were willfully lying.
Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld admitted, and he's quoted, that he didn't know who the enemy was at one point.
Maybe I should be clear. My experience was in the Obama administration. I did not encounter people willfully lying. I don't know what happened in the Bush administration in terms of whether Rumsfeld actually lied or others were being he was being lied to. But during my time in the Obama period, we tried to be very clear-eyed. There was a huge debate with interagency about whether we were succeeding or not. This is I think the value of the papers is to have us take a hard lessons learned look at, you know, how do we avoid the mistakes? We made a lot of mistakes. How do we avoid those mistakes in the future? How do we learn from those? But I think it sort of muddies the water to ascribe ill intent, at least to the folks that I saw really trying hard to get this right and often failing, but trying hard to get it right during the Obama administration.
There was a recent poll conducted by the Military Times, a U.S. Armed Forces publication, that shows that 58% of the troops polled said they disapproved of the president's decision to withdraw troops from Syria, a move that, as you said, was exploited by Russia and Turkey, and the U.S. turning its back on Kurdish forces allied with the U.S. Has the abandonment of the Kurds, you think, shaken the U.S. military on some fundamental level?
I think it has. I mean, one of the core values that you learn and you adopt as a member of the military is you don't abandon the person on your right or your left on the battlefield. You don't abandon an ally who is sacrificing alongside you, is spilling blood alongside you. And that's exactly what we did to the Kurds. And so it's deeply offensive. I had one officer describe to me that made him feel nauseous, that he was so upset about it, and that he worried that in the future, you know, allies won't trust us to have their backs. And that's always been a huge source of strategic strength for the United States. We have dozens and dozens of allies who've been willing to fight alongside us. And China doesn't, Russia doesn't, Iran doesn't, North Korea doesn't. So we're undermining our own advantage when we mistreat our allies.
What would it take to get the U.S. on solid footing in terms of policy in Syria?
Well, at this point, I think we have a very weak hand to play. I don't think we have the position or the leverage to determine the ultimate outcome. I do think the U.S. should be diplomatically more engaged in trying to shape whatever outcome is negotiated among the parties. And I do think we want to keep our focus on the counter-ISIS campaign and supporting our Kurdish and Syrian Democratic Forces allies on the ground.
Michelle Flournoy, former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy and co-founder and managing partner of West Exec Advisors. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.